This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
What we want to do when we have problems is let God use them to change us, and then let us change the world around us because of what God has taught us. When you're having a bad day, don't give in to dread. When you decide not to dread, you can stop a problem before it even begins. Dreading anything is not going to make it any better. Amen? I had to have a hip replaced a couple years ago. It's so nice today. If you wear out parts, you can go get new ones. It's just the coolest thing. I mean, I got this new hip, and now I can just walk all I want to. It's just great. Well, now my other hip's hurting. So, I'm like, I got plans, Lord. I don't have time for this. And I don't know what it is yet, but, you know, there's always the temptation to, come on, you know what I'm talking about. But can I tell you, that doesn't change anything. All it changes is you. All it changes is me. So bottom line is I got to have an attitude. Well, I can do whatever I need to do. And I'm not going to stop enjoying my life in the midst of it. I had a plan, but if that plan don't work out, then I guess we'll get a new plan. And God will work everything out for my good. Come on, stop being miserable about stuff you cannot do anything about. I want to make sure you heard that. Stop being miserable about stuff you cannot do anything about. Amen? Stay happy and let God take care of it. Make your mind up, I'm not going to dread anything. That should be your new favorite statement. I'm not going to dread anything. I'm not going to dread doing dishes. I'm not going to dread doing laundry. I'm not going to dread cutting the grass. I'm not going to dread changing the oil in the car. I'm not going to dread driving in traffic to work. Dread is simply expecting to have an unpleasant experience. That's all it is. And it's the total opposite of hope. You know, one of the ways that you can and I can learn to not dread things is to do everything that we do far and unto the Lord. Even go to the grocery store. Get dressed in the morning. Drive in traffic to work. You can say, Lord, I'm going to work for you. I want to live for your glory today. And so I'm in your hands. Everything you do, do it far and unto the Lord. David said in Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil. Not just I won't fear, but I won't dread it. You know why? Dread is kind of like the forerunner to fear. They're very close relatives. How many of you know anything about dreading stuff? We got to get the stupid spirit of dread out of our lives, because all it does is just suck the joy out of you, and it doesn't change anything. We need to stop dreading things. And believe me, it will pay you a visit. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever might be your task, work at it heartily from the soul. Whatever might be your task. Come on, can you do dishes with a smile on your face? Can you vacuum with a smile on your face? I know I'm stretching it here this morning, but let me tell you something. If we don't conquer little battles, the Lord spoke to my heart a lot of years ago, and he said a lot of people are out trying to cast out devils, and they don't even have authority over a sink full of dirty dishes yet. Come on. I mean, we're in pretty bad shape. If we're full of the Spirit of God, and we get up in the morning and think, it's laundry day. I gotta go to the grocery store tomorrow. I gotta clean the house on Friday. Am I having a bad day? Well, you know what? If you are, Excuse me, I love you, but it's your own fault. Because it's all about attitude. Attitude, attitude, attitude. Now, do everything you do as something done for the Lord. Verse 24, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, which is your real reward. The one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Christ the Messiah. Now, just a word maybe to a few ladies, probably not many of you here, but I know when I was raising my kids, I could really get a martyr's syndrome real quick. Well, everybody around here just expects me to do everything. Dave watches sports and he goes and plays golf and the kids make messes and I just cook meals and people eat them and I do the dishes and I do the laundry and what I want to know is who cares about me? But see, here's the thing. Let's go back to the end of verse 24. Come, we're going to go slow today. We want you to get this. The one whom you are actually serving is Jesus. You're not a slave to your family. You're a servant to Jesus Christ. Try to find something good in everything. Play the glad game. I'm stuck in traffic, but maybe God is protecting me from an accident that I would be in if I were traveling faster. Come on. But when you're in that traffic and you're tempted to have a bad attitude, this is when you have to say, okay, God, there's got to be something good that I can see in this. You got to look for the good. You don't have to look for bad in life, but you have to look for the good. Well, my friend really disappointed me, but at least I learned to put my hope in God more than in people. I've been sick for 2 weeks, but boy, has it ever reminded me to pray for others when I hear that they're sick. I lost my job, but now I'm going to have an opportunity to watch God get me a better one. Amen. So we're going to just dare to be defiant against dread. Everybody say, no more dread. Now, another way that you can make a day better if it's not going too good, or actually you don't even have to wait for it not to go good. Some of these things, if we would do them on a regular basis, we wouldn't experience as many bad days and have to fight them off. How about doing something new that will keep your life from being stale and stagnant because nothing in it has changed for the last 25 years? If we stop learning and growing, we're breathing but not truly alive. Joyce Meyer said that. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, a mind that's stretched by a new experience can never go back to its old dimensions. Now, I believe that learning can actually add a little exciting element to our life every day. Maybe the biggest thing we need to learn is a new way to respond to old problems. Yes. Yes. Amen. So here's a little story for you. Once upon a time, a daughter complained to her father that her life was miserable and she just didn't know how she was going to make it. She said, I'm tired of fighting and struggling all the time. It just seems after one problem is solved, another one comes right on top of it. Her father, who was a chef, took her into the kitchen and he filled 3 pots with water and he placed each one of them on a high fire. Once the 3 pots began to boil, he placed potatoes in one pot, eggs in the second pot, and ground coffee beans in the 3rd pot. He then let them sit and boil without saying a word to his daughter. After 20 minutes, he turned off the burners. He took out the potatoes, put them in a bowl, pulled the eggs out, put them in a bowl. Then he ladled some of the coffee out into a cup, turning to her and asked his daughter, what do you see? She said, well, potatoes, eggs, and coffee. Look closer, he said. Touch the potatoes. Touch the eggs. Sip the coffee. So she did and noted that the potatoes were soft. He then asked her to take an egg and break it, and after pulling off the shell, she observed that it was hard. He now asked her to sip the coffee, and it brought a smile. The rich aroma brought a smile to her face. "Father, what does this mean? What are you trying to teach me?" He then explained that the potatoes, the eggs, and the coffee had each faced the same adversity. The boiling water, however, each one reacted differently. The potatoes went in strong and hard and came out soft and weak. The egg went in fragile with a thin outer shell protecting its liquid interior, but when it was put in the boiling water, it came out hard. However, the coffee beans were unique. After they were exposed to the boiling water, they changed the water and created something new. Yeah. Amen. So when you have problems, and you know, we do have problems, and I'm well aware that some of you have some serious problems going on in your life right now. And if you're not in this building, surely many watching TV, I've gone through terribly difficult times in my life. But we have to be so careful that our problems don't make us weak and wimpy, where we don't just start having a give up attitude. And then we also want to make sure they don't make us hard and harsh and leave us with a bitter attitude. What we want to do when we have problems is let God use them to change us, and then let us change the world around us because of what God has taught us. Are you a potato, an egg, or coffee beans? Which one are you? The moral that we want to learn from this is, in life, things happen around us and things happen to us, but the only thing that really matters is what happens in us. If you're really bold and ready to be humbled, ask a good friend or a loving family member to tell you how they see you. I'm trying to think if I've got a loving family member or friend that I'd be willing to do that with. My gosh, there's no telling what you might hear. Tell somebody, what do you see as my strengths? And what do you see as my weaknesses? Now, the good thing about doing it with Dave is, I don't know how God exactly put Dave together, but he is exactly what I needed to survive life. Because I said to him not all that long ago, I said, so if you could change anything about me, if there was anything you'd like to see me work on or change, what would it be? And he said, nothing, I like you just like you are. Well, it's a good thing he didn't ask me, because I could have probably whipped out a list. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. That's just... So, man, he is an example to me. Here's something you could do to kind of add a spark to your life. Learn a little bit more about your body. You know, you're very amazing. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm serious. Get online and just put in, how does the human body function? What does it take to get you through one day? You've got 6 quarts of blood in your body, and it circulates through your body 3 times every minute. Every minute, all your blood in your body circulates through 3 times. Wow. Your blood travels 12,000 miles inside your body each day. See, this is what I love. Wow. Wow. Can I tell you something? God wants us to live with a louder wow. We need a bigger wow. Wow. Your heart beats 35 million times each year. I can see the rest of this conference is going to be good, isn't it? You have 60,000 miles of blood vessels inside your body. See? Woo, this is good. Okay, I'm feeling led of the Lord to go on now to something else. Don't let your relationships get stale, especially in a marriage, and don't put all the responsibility on the other person to perk it up. Next thing I want to talk to you about, another way you can make every day better. Refuse to settle for less than your best life. Refuse to settle. You know what? In Genesis 11:31, I love to talk about this. I actually talked about this in my women's conference 2 weeks ago. And Terah took Abram, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. Now watch this. And they went forth together to go from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. Now where were they headed? Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Wow, what a lesson that is. I wonder how many times people in their life start out to do one thing, but somewhere along the line, they get tired, they get weary, and they just settle for something that's kind of not really what they wanted, but something they think they can put up with. I wonder if you just have a life that you're just putting up with. Or if you have the life that you really want. Are you really on a fast track to live the life that Jesus died to give you? Or have you just settled somewhere? So many people settle. You know, if you live in the middle of Kansas and you want to live by the ocean, don't get tired and decide to live by the river. Don't settle for mediocrity when God has called you to excellence. You know what the word mediocre means? To live halfway between success and failure. You're not really a failure. You wouldn't say you're a failure, but you wouldn't really say you're a success. If your goal when you get married is to love your spouse unconditionally, then don't settle for just tolerating them. Wow. If you set out to study the Word of God, I mean, you want to know your Bible, you want to really know God, don't settle for just reading a chapter once a day just to put in your time with God. If you set out to lose 20 pounds, don't settle for 2 because you got hungry. And then gain that back plus more. Okay, let's play the what if game for a minute. What if, what if you would decide today to give God your all? I mean, that's it. I'm making the commitment. I'm going all out for God. What if you confronted problems instead of running away from them? How different would our lives be this time next year if we started to really confront things instead of hiding from them, hoping they'll go away? Here's a good one we can all use. What if you decided today to stop procrastinating? Wow. What if you demanded the best from yourself instead of just putting up with average? What if you never said anything negative again? Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine how it would change your life if you never again? What about if we never again complained about anything? What if you really believe the devil's a liar and you never listen to him again? The Bible is full of scriptures about doing your best. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We can't be part-time Christians. It's not a Sunday morning event. This takes everything you got. And those of you that are here today, you know that because this is Friday morning. And you'll be back tonight and probably in the morning, and then you'll probably go to church on Sunday morning. I just want to read you one scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed. Isn't that good? Do your utmost. You know, I've been saying this lately, and I really like this. I'm going to say it to you too. I don't know what it is we think we're doing here on earth, but I'll tell you, the amount of time that we're going to live here is so pathetically small compared to eternity. And I tell you, there's just so many things we get all uptight about that just really just don't make any difference at all when you really look at it. And I think that we need to spend more of our here time getting ready for there. Amen. I don't know what you think, but I think Jesus is coming back soon. I mean, there's not too many signs left to be fulfilled. And I don't know that it'll be in my lifetime, but I have a feeling it's going to be soon. You might say, well, the Apostle Paul said it was going to be soon. Well, it's got to be sooner now than it was then. Next thing I want to talk to you about is make an investment in yourself. When you're having a bad day, now this may sound odd, but when you're having a bad day, just go do something for yourself. Okay, this is going to take a while, isn't it? But you know what? Truthfully, the flesh is so stupid. When you're having a bad day, you kind of want to punish yourself. Make it worse. I mean, you say, well, what can I do for myself? And I can't go shopping every time I have a bad day. Well, I'm not talking about being foolish, but I mean, if you're having a bad day, go outside and take a walk. And I was walking the other morning and I thought, I thank God for something I'd never thanked him for before in my life. I don't think I thanked him. God, thank you for color. Just imagine if everything was one color, even if it was your favorite color, it would still get boring. Just color. I mean, there are so many different colors in the world. I mean, just a walk can make you realize how amazing God is. And when you realize how amazing God is, it'll make any bad day better. Don't just sit home and think about your problem. Get out. Take a walk. Drink a cup of coffee if you like coffee. Drink a cup of tea if you like tea. Do something. Go get a pedicure. Dave gets pedicures. Just in case some of you guys, oh, I am never going to go get a pedicure. Well, you don't know what you're missing out on. Getting your feet rubbed feels really good. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness. and paid for, made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. So, I've been harping on this for a few years, but I'm going to keep it up. Invest in yourself and take better care of yourself. Spend a little extra money to get decent quality food. An investor does not expect to reap a profit without making an investment. Listen to me. Do not expect to maintain good health and feel good if you are not going to make any investment in taking care of yourself. I think it's something that we're commanded to do by Scripture. And I will tell you this, please listen to me, you will have far less bad days if you start doing some things to ensure that you feel good every day. Because there's nothing that will ruin a good day worse than feeling bad all the time. Amen?
I'm so tired.
Yeah, well, you probably heard me say all this. I think I'll find something else to talk about. Worry less. Eliminate stress. Yes. Come on, help me. Help me preach. Psalm 37:1, fret not yourself. One time I was preaching out of this scripture and a lady stood up out there and she said, "That's me, Sister Fret." You know, we're just fretting so much over what's going on in the world today and, oh, what are we going to do? Everybody's so evil. Everybody's so wicked. Come on, let's believe the Bible today. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. God's going to take care of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need to do our part. But if I can understand my Bible at all, whatever happens in this world, God is going to take care of his people. You know, so when people ask me, well, what do you think about all the terrible things that are going on? The bottom line is when you've done what you can do, don't expect God to help you if you're not doing your part. But if you've done what you can do, then you can always trust God to take care of you, and he will. Amen? Stop fretting. Stop being upset about everything. Why don't people do more for themselves? You want me to tell you why when I said do more for yourself, I just got total silence? As Christians, I think there's a couple of reasons. One, as a Christian, you might have an unbalanced view toward what the Bible says about living sacrificially. Romans 12:1 says, make a decisive dedication of your body, presenting all your members as a living sacrifice. But then John 10:10 says Jesus came that we might have and enjoy our life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. So one scripture tells me to sacrifice everything. And another scripture tells me to enjoy my life so much that it's overflowing and abundant. But see, Paul said we need the whole counsel of the Word of God. And so if you have no balance in your life, if you're off in the ditch one way or the other in any principle of God, it's going to end up getting you in trouble. We need balance. And so I can sacrifice what I need to sacrifice, but let me tell you something. I made my mind up 20 years ago. I am going to enjoy my life because I don't think there's anything that makes the devil any madder than for you to enjoy every day that God gives you. And I'm trying to help you not to have one bad day after another bad day after another bad day till it turns into a bad week and then a bad month and then a bad year. And if you're not careful, a bad life. And the way to stop it is to stop it early before it ever gets started. Well, I've been talking about simple changes we can make to improve our life, and one of the most important things we can do is to seek and apply God's wisdom for every aspect of our lives. Wisdom helps us make choices now that we will be happy with later on. You may think to yourself, but how do I do that? Well, Ginger joins me with some of your questions about the subject of wisdom.
They have sent in some really good questions today. Yeah, a lot of different areas of wisdom, and also some overall things that I think will help set a good foundation.
Good.
So to start off, Alexis says, what is godly wisdom? How do we walk in it, and especially after a hard fall or messing up?
Well, the proper definition of wisdom is the accurate use of knowledge. I think that in our society, we're so proud of what we know. And, you know, getting as much education as you can is wonderful. I'm certainly not against that. But sometimes you can educate yourself to the point where it's hard for your head not to want to run your life instead of being led by the Spirit. And so the definition that I've come up with for wisdom, which you heard in the opening, but I love it, it's to do now what you'll be happy with later on. Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, I can overeat for a month and eat a bunch of junky stuff, too much sugar and too much salt and on and on and on, and I like it now, but I'm not going to like it in 4 weeks when it shows up on the scale.
Right, the results.
I don't feel good.
Yeah.
And if we can just understand that every decision, every action is a seed we sow. And the Bible says, don't be deceived and misled that we can only reap what we sow, nothing else. So you're not going to sow a seed of disobedience and have a great outcome from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, it can't happen. I mean, you've never seen anybody that wasted their money, didn't save any money, had all kinds of charge cards and had them all maxed out to the highs they could possibly go and wake up some morning and be a millionaire.
Right.
I mean, it's just, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We, you know, people say, well, you're lucky or you're this or you're that, but we have a lot more to do with how our life turns out than what we want to admit to sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Proverbs is just full of points on wisdom.
Yeah.
And
as
you know, I've written a book on Proverbs, and one of the things that I found so interesting in it was that there's so much repetition. I mean, you might have one chapter in Proverbs that talks about the mouth 7 different times.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because it's that important.
It's that important.
And it takes us that many times for it to sink in. I know with me it does, definitely.
And it doesn't do any good to know anything if you don't apply it in your life. And I think that's where we make our mistake. We think, well, I know that, but are you doing it?
Yeah.
We don't really know anything until we're applying it in our lives on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, this question goes right into that from Jean. I read the book of Proverbs a lot to help me with wisdom. So what advice do you have to help me acquire, grow, and act in that wisdom? As that's soaking in, how does she activate it in her life?
Discipline and self-control. I mean, you know, a lot of the things that are in the book of Proverbs, it sounds real simple when you're reading it, but it's another, like Proverbs says, not to gossip.
Yeah.
But how easy is it to do that, to get drawn into a conversation even by somebody else?
Yeah.
You know, and you may pray, well, God, help me not to gossip. But when the temptation comes, that's when you have to apply what you studied. I mean, this really, it's the answer to almost every question. If we do what God says to do, we will have good lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect.
Right.
But God's Word works if we work the Word.
Yeah.
But we can't just reading it. You can underline in your Bible. You can color code your Bible. You know, you can read Proverbs every day. but if you don't apply the principles, and so when you're active in life and your emotions kick in, and then you have the devil who's trying to always get you to go in the wrong direction, and you have the influence of other people that maybe you love and admire who are trying to give you advice and you want them to like you, it's like you got all these things coming at you at once. That's why many times you have to just get quiet and say, what is the right thing for me to do? And I've found, too, that it's very important to be honest with myself about why I'm doing something. Mm. Motives are so important.
Yes.
And I think we live life so fast that half the time we don't even know why we're doing stuff. How many people are watching right now and they would say that they're way too busy in life and they feel stressed out because of their schedule? Mm-hmm. But if they would look at everything they're doing and ask themselves why they're doing it, I wonder how many things people are doing, well, because that's just what I've done for 10 years. Well, maybe God got finished with that 5 years ago and you're still doing
still it.
Or maybe you're doing too many things to please other people. Well, Joyce, aren't we supposed to please people? Yes, but not if pleasing people is ruining your health and making you so stressed out that you can no longer follow God.
So the wisdom for now may be a different path than it was years ago.
Exactly. Things are always changing in life, and we always have to go with those changes.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how we get addicted, so to speak, to what we've always done.
Exactly.
You know, we've even found out here, it's like, well, why are we making that report anymore? Well, we've done that for 20 years. But nobody's even looking at it.
Yeah.
So somebody can be spending hours doing a report that's sent out to 30 people that nobody even uses.
Yeah. All right. This is one of those specific questions about an area that Proverbs talks about a lot and is a huge, I know, for me, for wisdom. Laura from Texas says, how can I guard my tongue so I can be wiser in all of my relationships?
Well, the mouth.
Uh-huh.
The mouth.
Yep.
No man can tame the tongue, James said. So it is something that we have to pray about. But just praying about it doesn't do it either. I think that if we really pray, I like to ask God to make me aware of when I'm starting to go in the wrong direction.
The sooner the better, right?
The sooner the better. Thank God for repentance, but I don't want to spend my whole life repenting for the same thing when God would prefer that I just stop doing it to begin with.
Yeah.
So I think we need to here again, slow down. And if you're in a group of people that are starting to gossip about somebody at work, tell them you need to go. You know, don't you? Ask God to make you aware of when you're starting to go in the wrong direction,
mm-hmm.
and stop it. I've even, when I was trying to master some of these problems, not that I have them mastered yet, but I can remember being in the middle of conversations and realizing, oh, I shouldn't be talking about this. And I committed to actually, if that's the case, I'm going to stop right in the middle of it and say, you know what? This is not something, I've got the conviction of the Holy Spirit. This is not something that I should be talking about. And I'm sorry that I even got into it. Please forgive me.
And that's that discipline and self-control you're talking
about.
And,
you know, it also, it's embarrassing. So sometimes being willing to embarrass yourself in front of your friends will help break that off of you. But I don't know of anybody that's going to get perfected in the area of the mouth. The Bible says if you're perfect in what you say, then everything else in your life will be perfect. So I pray a couple different scriptures. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. And then I love what David said, oh Lord, put a guard over my mouth lest I sin against you. I need God to help me. But I think the Bible says the Holy Spirit brings things to our remembrance when we need them. So I think one of the main things is asking God to show you when you're about to make a mistake, not after you're already in the middle of it and have already made the mistake.
Right. That's really good. One final question. Shelley from Oregon says, what do you do when the storm is so loud that you're having trouble hearing God's wisdom? I need that wisdom to make some extremely difficult decisions about my health very soon, and I don't have a lot of time to wait. And we've all felt that kind of pressure before. You know, we have a deadline. It feels like there's so much stress, so much going on. How do we hear from God in those stressful times?
Well, you know, if we remember Jesus, he always had a lot of people around him. But he also very often just walked away from them.
You're right. He was always being pulled.
And went off by himself to pray.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you have to get away from everybody for a period of time, shut down all the other voices, and just really stop and ask, okay, what's in my heart? Because to be honest, I think we know a lot more deep inside than what we think we do. Mm-hmm. So if she's in her head, you know, trying to decide all this, then you got all the, well, what if, and if I do this, then what, and if I do that, then what, and if, and if, and if. But just turn your head off for a minute and what's in my heart about this? I really believe we have wisdom. The Bible says that, you know, Christ is our wisdom from God. And so we have that ability to make right choices, especially the more and the longer you study the Word of God. You have the ability to make right choices. But
I love that thought.
But you do have to get quiet. The other thing, sometimes if you just really absolutely cannot get clarity on what you're supposed to do, you can go to a spiritually mature, trusted leader or friend and ask them to help you. Now, nobody's you, and you can't let other people run your life, but if you're talking with somebody else, let's just say that maybe this person's trying to decide whether to have a surgery or not. I don't know, you know, should I have the surgery or not?
Yeah.
Well, I was facing that myself a couple of weeks ago. I've got something wrong with my shoulder, and it's been a problem for now over a year, and I've tried cortisone and this and that, and nothing's working. And so when I'm training in the gym, I keep having to lower my weights and lower my weights, and then still, the day after I train, my shoulder will hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I finally just decided, you know what? I just need to get the surgery. I have to have my arm in a sling for 2 to 4 weeks, which means I can't do my hair, and I'm not happy about that, but it's only 2 to 4 weeks out of my life, and I don't want to deal with this the rest of my life. So I don't need 15 people to tell me what to do. I already know. But I did talk to my daughter about it, and she's just like, you need to just do it and get it over with.
Yeah.
And that's true. Sometimes we know what to do, but we need to just do it and get it over with.
Especially someone that we trust.
Right.
And respect their opinion.
And so what they say often will not be like, it'll be more like confirmation to you.
Yeah. Well, I know that you have some helpful resources that will help us to study and learn in that area of wisdom.
That's right. Today we're offering you some of those resources. In Search of Wisdom, it's a book that I've written. It's about Proverbs. We do all 31 chapters of Proverbs, and I worked very hard on this book, and I was just so amazed at how much wisdom is in the book of Proverbs. And so we're offering this to you today for your gift of any amount to the ministry. We want everybody to be able to have this because there's probably nothing that's more important than wisdom. We really need to walk in wisdom so we can have a good life, the kind of life that Jesus died for us to have. So be sure you get your copy and tell other people about it so they can get one too.
In times like these, we could use some clarity. Insight to help navigate through the waves of challenging decisions we all encounter. Walk with Joyce Meyer through the entire book of Proverbs and uncover the answers you crave in Search of Wisdom, Learn to apply God's wisdom in practical ways throughout your daily life. Wisdom today, peace and joy for tomorrow. Today, we're offering Joyce's newest release, In Search of Wisdom, for your donation of any amount. Contact us now at joycemeyer.org or call toll-free 1-800-727-9673.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.